You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
In a few minutes, we'll have the latest in space and astronomy news because this is the Space Show presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie, and, well, we've got a special theme for tonight's show.
Watch the man named Armstrong walk along the moon.
Well, if all goes well, we will have online a special guest. But now, welcome into the studio now with Peter Arwood. And he's from the Space Association of Australia. Greetings, Peter.
Now, I'm Peter Aylward, and I'm joined on the show by a special guest of ours named the Reverend Colin McKellar. He's we've called him up in Sydney. And Colin is an Australian resident, born, and is an amateur Apollo historian. Welcome to the Space Show, Colin.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for joining us, Colin. The reason we have you on the show tonight is, your interest and your passion in relation to Apollo and history in relation to Australia. Do you want to give us a quick overview of what you've been up to and where you're at and what your activities are?
Sure. Well, I'm a child of Apollo, so I was in first year at high school for Apollo 11, and so I was at just the right age to really, at least in part, appreciate the wonder of what was going on at that time. And there was a great deal of excitement in those days, not just amongst space nuts like me, but just everybody. It was very excited about people going to the moon for the first time. And Australia had a key role in so many ways in helping to get the Apollo program, and before that, Gemini, and then before that, the Mercury program through the tracking stations around Australia.
Yes, that it's a something that not many people knew about. I guess the movie The Dish really did shine more of a light on Australia's contribution, but there's a few inaccuracies in there, we know, but it was a nice story.
It was a great story, and I think it was really good that it did remind people that Australia did have such a key role, because most people had forgotten.
That's right. Well, and actually, probably people are not aware, perhaps they are, with the Mars Curiosity landing recently, but Australia is still, you know, very active in space tracking and communications, etc. But, Colin, I guess the reason we're talking today is to mark the sad passing of Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon. Unfortunately, he passed away last Sunday week. And I understand that you've had a relationship with Neil, which was born out of some of your work in relation to the Apollo history tapes that you were involved with. Do you want to give us a bit of a background on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, whoever thought you would ever get to have some correspondence with a man like that and to even get to meet him. But it started for me back in 2002, so 10 years ago, and it was really as a result of The Dish that it revived my interest in Apollo, and in particular the Australian tracking. Parkes was certainly a big part for Apollo 11, but the official NASA tracking stations were Honeysuckle Creek and Tidbinbilla, both just outside Canberra.
Right.
And they were also backed up by the NASA Carnarvon tracking station in West Australia. And so having seen The Dish and knowing that maybe it didn't tell quite the full story, I thought it would be a good opportunity to get in touch with some of the guys who were involved with Honeysuckle Creek, and I was able to do that. And They were very gracious in talking about what was obviously a high point in their lives.
Mm.
And one thing led to another, and we thought, well, why don't we start a website? Because not many people know about this.
It's a wonderful website. We'll give the URL out later in the interview, if you like, and put it on our website.
Yeah, thanks. And once I started doing the website, and once you have a website, of course, and once you start to meet some of these veteran trackers, as you get to know people, you find out things, and people say, well, I've got this and I've got this. And from about 1999, a friend of mine, John Sarkissian, who was at Parkes, had been researching the role of Parkes in Apollo 11. And sort of parallel with that, but a couple of years later, I was researching Honeysuckle Creek and Tibbinbilla. And we both realised that on the day of the Apollo 11 moon landing and the television which everybody saw, here in Australia we saw better quality television than anybody else in the world, for a very good reason, is that almost all of the television that went out to the world was received either at Honeysuckle Creek or at Parkes. And so that started it off in understanding how the TV was received, which sources Houston was using for its relay to the rest of the world, and all that kind of thing.
Right.
And John at Parkes had been looking for some of the best Australian recordings, or the few Australian recordings there were of that. And then at about the same time, in 2002, one of the Honeysuckle veterans who'd been working on the telemetry tapes on the day said that he thought he had a tape which may have contained the first few steps of Armstrong on the moon. These types of telemetry tapes, the signals from the moon included television, but that was just one part of the complex signal that was coming from the lunar module. And so these 14-track tape had all sorts of things like voice, astronauts' heartbeats and respiration, and the backpack parameters and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of those tracks contained the television. And each tape only lasted for 15 minutes because they were high-speed tapes. And so this guy who worked at Honeysuckle Creek said, well, I've got one of these tapes. So we got pretty excited and thought, well, if we could extract the television from that tape, we could have better TV than had been seen by anybody. And the reason it would have been better was that on the day, the television was received at Honeysuckle Creek, at Tibbinbilla as well, and at Parkes. And then it was relayed by microwave signals up to Sydney. And the best of those pictures was then selected by a NASA controller, who then sent it via satellite through the Moree Earth Station in northern New South Wales, over to California, and then it went across the states to Houston. And from Houston, it was released to the rest of the world.
Right.
We in Australia saw the picture direct from Sydney, didn't have to go via all our satellite links. And in that process, the television picture was degraded quite a bit, because we're talking about analog television in the 1960s.
Mm.
And we realised if we could find the original tapes, we could find tapes that, you know, that the picture that hadn't been degraded at all.
Wow, that would have been great.
So this particular tape that this guy had had for 35 years or so in his garage, we, after a long search to find recorders that could play this back, found that NASA had a couple of machines at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland, and they agreed to play them back for us. So that was wonderful. Got the tape sent over, and they played it back fine, which was great. It showed that such tapes hadn't degraded over the years, but he'd kept the wrong tape all those years.
Oh.
So he felt like a goose. But the good thing was, it showed us that the tapes could be played fine, sure, if we could only find them.
Yep.
And so that started off on a search. And as part of all of that, I made a DVD for the Honeysuckle guys for their 35th anniversary of Apollo 11. And that's how I got in touch with Neil Armstrong. A mutual friend sent out a message from me to anybody who worked on Apollo 11 saying, if you'd like a copy of this DVD, I'd be very honored to send you one. And a couple of days later, I had an email from Neil Armstrong.
Oh, wow.
So I sent it to him. And,
not the DJ, I take it.
Right. So he obviously, Neil had a reputation for being a recluse, but he really wasn't. He loved to interact with people who were on the same kind of wavelength as he was. And as long as he knew that people went out to exploit him and, you know, try to, you know, make money off him, which is fair enough, he was very happy to be in touch. And so that started email contact. I won't pretend that we were close friends, but we had, you know, fairly regular contact over about eight years.
Wow.
And not long after all of that, we found some Super 8 movie footage that was taken at Honeysuckle Creek on the day of the moonwalk. It was taken by the video technician who was processing the television as it came into his console from the moon before we went up to Sydney and then out to the rest of the world.
Oh.
And he'd actually forgotten that he'd taken his Super 8 camera and recorded bits of footage from the monitor right in front of him, very unofficially.
Sure.
He probably would have gotten into trouble for doing it, but I'm glad he did it because the quality, even though it was only Super 8, is in some places markedly better than any other recording that we had.
Yes, I've seen some of that, yes. It's great.
And so I sent a copy of this over to Neil when we found it, and he said, this is really remarkable. He was very pleased to see that.
Oh, wonderful. Now, I guess fast forward to last year, Neil was brought out to Australia as a guest of the CPA for his for their 125th anniversary, and I believe you had some involvement in some of the content that was shown on that day, and also did you have any involvement with the matched up video and onboard camera video that was shown?
Only by helping to get it there. I was made aware in May last year of someone in the States, someone who prefers to keep a low profile so he doesn't provide his real name, but he goes by the handle Gone to Plaid on YouTube. He'd started working with some of the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter imagery that had been taken in the last couple of years of the Apollo landing sites. He had the idea that if he could use some of the images and compare it with the 16mm film that was shot out of the lunar module window as they came to land, that he could put them side by side and see, does this really prove they actually landed? Because, of course, some people think it was a hoax. So here's the 16mm footage shot out of Buzz Aldrin's right-hand window of the lunar module. And then he used Google Moon, which is just like Google Earth. It uses topographic data, so you get pictures of the moon with depth of craters and height of mountains and so on. He overlaid onto that this latest high-resolution lunar reconnaissance orbiter imagery and was able to simulate one frame a second of the descent down to the landing. Now, the interesting thing about that was that as Armstrong was going into land, he was looking at the left-hand window as the commander who was flying it. And from his window, he could see a dirty great big crater with a boulder field.
Right.
And the computer was taking straight into that. Buzz Aldrin couldn't see that because he was looking at the right-hand window, as was the camera. So only Neil saw this great hazard that he had to fly over, take manual control to land.
Right.
Until this side-by-side footage was put together. So I saw this footage and I showed it to Neil and he was blown away by it. He was just so impressed because he was vindicated. You know, every little detail on the 16mm footage is still there, of course.
Mm.
The difference is that when you get close enough, there's now the descent stage of the lunar module sitting on the lunar surface just where he landed. So when Neil was approached by the CPA people to come out here, he said to them, I've got this friend in Sydney who can tell you about this footage. I want to show it, and I want to narrate my descent to the lunar surface.
Wow.
And so he was really excited about the prospect of doing that. Now, as a result of that, I talked to the CPA people and put them in touch with the guy who'd worked on this, and this particular guy worked for weeks and weeks, day and night, to turn his one frame per second animation into a 25 frame per second animation, so that every little movement you see on the 16mm footage was he could duplicate, so he could see exactly where they were flying, exactly how high they were, and he could see every little detail of all of these boulders and so on that Neil had to fly over. And the thing was finished the morning that Neil arrived here in Sydney.
Wow.
So Neil saw it here in Sydney and then the next day he narrated it to the assembled crowd.
Well, I was there, as were you, Colin, yeah. And also Andrew and a number of other friends of mine, and you could see the emotion and the feeling that Neil had narrating that, and it just came through in his presentation. And for people that are interested, you can go to the CPA website and actually watch the interview that CPA did with him, but within that he does include the narration of that landing sequence, so it's wonderful to see.
No, that's in part four.
Part four, that's
on
correct.
A video. Mm-hmm. And the guy who produced that has... Neil was in further contact with him, and he was working on some other projects for Neil, and they haven't been finished yet, but we're hoping that we'll be able to work with NASA to make those available in a fitting way as a tribute to Neil.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. So would that be out the other window, is what I thought. Out of Commander's yes. window, it'd be wonderful.
Yes,
oh.
I have seen some of the work you've been doing. He hasn't released it yet, but you can have a panoramic view of if you could have been standing on the porch of the lunar module as they're flying in and just have a panoramic view, goodness. Then you can see that, and it really is breathtaking.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Colin, I know you have to shoot off. I just would like to give you the opportunity, if you'd like, to say a few words about Neil Armstrong and his passing sure. and his legacy.
He was an incredibly humble man. He was never saying this is about me. He was always saying this is about the team. And a funny thing that happened when he came into Sydney on the plane, he was met by some of the CPA people who arranged to get him out of a side door through customs. And when he walked out of the door to the limousine, there was some paparazzi there. And the people with him thought, oh, this is it, you know, the game's up. They're getting all these pictures of Neil. He can't get any privacy. But none of the paparazzi recognised him because they were waiting for Leonardo DiCaprio, who was on the same flight. And I thought that was wonderful because obviously Neil's name is perhaps the best known name in the world. But because he hasn't pushed himself into the spotlight, he's not instantly recognisable.
Yes.
But at the same time, he was happy to speak at events like the CPA event. The last public appearance he gave was on the 21st of July at the dedication of a new telescope in Arizona. And he showed that video again. He showed it a couple of times since the Sydney showing, and he really enjoyed it. He said it was enthusiastically received. But he was always very humble. He's also a great wordsmith. He was very good at telling stories. I think you can see that even on the lunar surface when they had the phone call from President Nixon, just the way he responded very appropriately and in a very dignified way, he carried that through. And as you know, that night he was here in Sydney, he told some wonderful stories and he really captivated the audience.
Yes, oh, that's right. And he's quite economical with his words, but what he says has value and conveys the message. And, yeah, a very gifted speaker and a sad loss to everybody. It really hit me when I heard the news, and I guess you as well.
And
many people around the world, really.
I think it hit a lot of people more than they really expected it would.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, it's also, I mean, it's about the man and his achievement, but it's also, I guess, for many of us, it's about our history as well, our recollections of our youth, the fact we're getting older ourselves, all that kind of stuff all wells into that sort of... that feeling, that's my point of view. Anyway, yeah.
So, yes, I think Neil was in many ways a representative of the greatest achievement, the greatest peacetime achievement of the 20th century.
Yes.
And I think he was, as it's been described many times, a reluctant hero, but he wore that mantle very well in a very dignified way. And I think we can be very thankful to have had some contact with him.
Yes. And I'd like to thank you, and we all would, for the work that you've done, and I'm sure that he appreciated it, and we all, of course, appreciate what you've been able to bring to the world, and the same goes for the people, the tracking station people here in Australia. They do appreciate the work you've done and continue to do. So it's a great service you're conducting, and thank you for that. We really appreciate it, and also thank you for your time today. I know you do have to shoot off, but let me know if you need to go.
That's okay. We can talk another minute if you like, but whatever you've got planned.
Anything else you'd like to say, Colin? Any... Well, let's give your website out. Everyone's probably dying to go. So if people go to... Yeah, go ahead.
It's honeysucklecreek.net. That's one word, honeysucklecreek, the tracking station, .net. And it's a work in progress. There is a nice picture of Neil that we took last year when he was here. And underneath that picture, if you go to the website, you'll see one of his very well-crafted messages, which he wrote to all of the trackers on the occasion of the 40th anniversary of Apollo 11 in 2009. And, I was able to ask him if he would mind sending a message to the trackers, and I thought maybe, you know, one line, all the best, hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
But he obviously put a lot of time into what he wrote, and it was... I think it really helped a lot of the guys in so many ways. But if you read it, you'll see what I mean.
Definitely, I'll take another look. I've been to your site for many, many hours, and every time I go, I discover something new. So it's a wealth of information. Well, Colin, really do appreciate you taking your time, and we'd love to have you on again for another chat, and we can talk more about other things you're doing, and we'll look forward to those other projects you've been working on as well.
Thanks very much, Peter.
Thank you very much.
And you're listening to The Space Show with Andrew Rennie and Peter Irwood.